Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated and let us turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We shall chant the Vandana onwards. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Narang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dhatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dhatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami, Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami, Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami, Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami, Suramiraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna Sarappa Dittena Dipena Tamadangsina Tiloka Dipang Sambuddhang Pujayami Tamonodang Sanda Sambarayutena Dupena Hang Sukanghina Pujaye Pujaniyang Tang Puja Bhajana Mutamang Vanna Ganda Gunopetang Etang Kusuma Santatin Pujayami Munindasa Siri Pada Sarorohe Pujemi Buddhang Kusumena Nena Punnena Mattena Cha Hotu Mokang Pupang Milayati Yata Idang Me Kayo Tata Yati Vinasa Bhavang Adivasetu No Bante Paniyang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya patigan hatumutamang. Okay, now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay homage to Tripaja. Padang pujami. Damang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you can be seated. So we will have half an hour of silent awareness meditation. We will off the light. But before we off the light, I'd like to make two announcements. First is regarding our today, 26 December 2019. It's the last Thursday class of the year before we move into the next decade, like Sui An say, 2020. So wish you all your very best. Yeah, and may all your good and noble wishes be fulfilled in the coming year, so that all of you can progress along the path of Dhamma. The second announcement is I heard Suyan say he's going to India. So in order to help him, this year's retreat, he wants to wrap everything up by January before he go. So you all better put your name there. But I realize the annual retreat, our annual retreat, March Cameron. No, it means finalize everything. It means the name list and the collection of payment and all that. Because by the time he come back, not much time left. It's almost time for retreat already. So in order to help him out, so he has sounded to me just now, so I was thinking better help him make the announcement. I think to make the thing easier, you don't have to think, you just put your name there. Once you put your name there, means you are coming. That list, I think, clean it up. Then let people just add their name. Otherwise, they go to go and look for their name. Not there, then only add their name. Then some more tick and all those things. No, whoever who is already going, yeah. So Suyan will prepare that list. Then you all just add it in, yeah, towards the whatever to fill it up. Then after that, if payment, Suyan will also put the account there. Then the payment you can pay, then you notify Suyan direct, or you just tick, then let Suyan know. Yeah. So this retreat is our usual annual retreat. I think this is our number 9 year. We have our annual retreat at Cameron Highlands Sampo Temple. They call it the Triple Gem Temple. So it's a very famous Mahayana temple, Sampo Phat. That place is very conducive for experiencing deep and good meditation. Well, that was the place in the early 80s. I went there for retreat. Then something happened up there in the year 1989. That's why I remember that place. And that Mahayana temple is very unique. Their nature there, very beautiful. And all the great beings. And also the abbot who planned and started that place is a very good abbot. Then the few abbot that actually took over from him also very good. So I know two of them. Especially the third one. The third one, I know him very well. Well, when I was there at the retreat, somehow he liked me. And he always smiled to me. Then he invited me to go up to the top floor where all the relics of the teachers are there. That was a very special way place. Then you really know how to make use of your time during the retreat. You will benefit a lot because it's continuous 8 to 9 days of pure vegetarian organic food. Very healthy, really. You feel very healthy. Then we got some morning exercise. Then we got a daily routine. The first few days will be more on the teaching. And meditation also will be part of it. So you will be taught the full range of understanding of what this teaching is all about.
Then English or
English. But the temple is Mahayana. You're very surprised they allow us to conduct Theravada tradition up there. Because most of the time, the retreat there are Mahayana, and I think they conduct it in Mandarin. But ours, it was very strange. I was not even a monk, but he gave me a room. Supposed to be a monk's room. He called it teacher's room. Then after that, because he knew when we were there, things were different. And he liked us, the abbot and the tangjia, they liked us. The staff there also, they liked us. That's why it was very conducive. Then we had a lot of very good experience there. And every time when we were there, the weather, everything is very good, very conducive. So if you really want to learn and you have that faith, sadha, virya, then you determine you will learn a lot. Your progress will be very different. But after you come back, don't forget to continue with the training. Because when you are there, you will learn, and your faith is very strong, you will learn a lot of very beautiful things. And this Dhamma teaching is all set out in the Heart Sutta book, the English version, that thick book, remember? And most of you must have. If you don't have, you can request for a copy from me. We will use that as the main sharing reference book. Because inside there, all the teachings, the meditative question, the meditative understanding, they are all there. If you can go through that, it will help you to develop the understanding. But normal class like that, we don't have much time for the theory, the teaching. So we had mostly meditation, then reporting of meditation, Q&A, then I will try to cover whatever that is related to whichever teaching. But at the retreat is different. I will cover from the beginning to the end, the full range, and you will learn a lot of things. And even for people who has been there many times, they will also learn, because they will learn the deeper aspect of the Dhamma. Then now, with the website, everything, every year you develop the understanding, you become different. Then every year you go for the retreat, you will transform. The retreat is the place where you will spend almost like full time going through that thing. And that 9 days is, you cannot imagine the amount of merits, wholesomeness and understanding that you will develop. Because the normal class, the 2 hours is already so powerful. But when you have it continuous over 8 or 9 days, it's different. And during that time, most of them will be on 8 precepts. Although it's optional for people who go retreat, because some people, they need to eat. So if you need to eat, you can have your meals. And if you can really endure the 8 precepts, then it's advisable for you to take the 8 precepts. But 8 precepts is not difficult. I realize when you are up there, 8 precepts, you feel very comfortable. Actually, you are not hungry. Because the weather, the atmosphere, the energy, the condition up there is so beautiful, so different. They are so conducive for developing the understanding of Dhamma, for meditation, for contemplation, reflection, and everything that you need regarding cultivation, you can find them there. The vicinity, the environment also very good. Then we try to, on the last day, pamper you all a bit before we go back. They will normally arrange for a dinner for you all. And Cameron there is famous for steamboat. Their steamboat is very nice, because all their steamboat, the veg, they are very fresh. Then the weather there is very cooling, very chilling. So after the steamboat, you feel very good. You come out, the air is really fresh, and oh, there's an ice cream shop further up there also. So the last 2 years, I think they had that ice cream. But this is part of the activity that we include for cultivator, because all the way up there, you don't experience the steam boner and the ice cream. People say, did you really go to Cameron Highland? So that was the reason why, when they suggested, I said, why not? We can have it. But when you are there at the retreat towards the end, you are already very mindful. Your mind is already very different. You can see the transformation in you, the change in you. And most of them are radiant, your face. There's a lot of joy, a lot of happiness. So this is what retreat can actually makes the difference to your practice, your cultivation. And whatever you experience during the 8 or 9 days of deep retreat, study, meditation, listening to the Dhamma, straightening your view, cultivating, makes a tremendous difference to your understanding. Then when you come back, you can really, really feel it, the big difference. The understanding is so different. After that, it's like the whole picture very clear. The whole teaching like very clearly covered. Then whatever you want to know, that Heart Sutta book, you go and look for it. Everything is there. All the answers are there. Okay? So this one is for those who are new. If you have not joined us, I hope you can make it. You will never regret. What we charge is very nominal. Very nominal. We are very lucky, because the temple is willing to give us free accommodation. Everything is free, actually, even the usage of utility, everything except the meals. The meals, they charge us very minimal. I think 6 ringgit per meal. So if you have breakfast and lunch, then it's only 12 ringgit. But if you want to include dinner, you have 5 pizza, it's only about 18 ringgit a day. But we add, I think, 2 ringgit for the fruits, to buy some veg, fruits for us, because we need to have combination of organic vegetarian food with some vitamins, fruits. So all in, I think, you wrap it up one day, about 20 or 22 ringgit like that. So for 9 days, your meal is already 100 plus, almost 200. But I think Sri Lanka only charge together with transport, 350, I think. Without transport, save 70, 280. So it's all at cost. We are all the volunteer, they do it for you free. Then normally Kaya Mitra Fund will make offering also donation to the common pool, so that all those who didn't get to make it also can reap the merits, share the merits. Then normally Kaya Mitra Fund will also sponsor your last meal back to KL before you reach KL. That lunch, we will buy you all lunch. Oh, this year, Brother Ko's wife reminded me, he said, this year can contact them. You contact Mrs. Ko. She will invite us to their center in Kampa. They call it Mangala Lodge. Mangala Lodge. They bought a few units in a row. One corner and two intermediate, double story, convert into a vihara, and they let people use the student there and all this thing. So we have been there many times. So this year again, he invited. Last year I can't make it because I got something on, and Suyan also they have something on, so we skip going to their place last year. But this year we will definitely try to make it. Because the wife also informed me. Oh, next year, yeah. Thanks for the correction, yeah. Maybe it was right. So, at Kampa, you can get to eat at the Kampa famous restaurant, the Chinese restaurant. Normally they have, depending on how many retreatants. So, those who join us, normally we have about 5 tables, I think. 5 tables, yeah. Because it varies from sometimes. I think there was one year almost 80 of us, nearly 80 of us. So we have quite a big group actually. But it's more for you to develop the understanding. If you are new, you will like it beyond the experience. But do bring your warm clothing. All this will be made known to you all during the briefing. Yeah, it's like a mini Switzerland out there. Very cooling, very nice. At night, the temperature can go down to 12 degrees Celsius. But you have your long john or your Uniqlo now got the thin and cheap and warm type of thing. What you call heat tech. You have that one, is more than enough for you. Then you have your warm clothing, then even cardigan is enough for you. And in the daytime, it's very nice. Daytime, like aircon, until afternoon, also maximum 24 degrees. Like that. It's between 16 to 23 or 4 degrees during the day. Then at night, after 9 o'clock, when you want to sleep, it will slowly go down to about 12 degrees. Not only aircon, it's very cool. But the monastery is very nice. The meditation hall is very nice. And you got hot water. The most important thing is you got hot water. The toilet, everything is very conducive, very nice, very neat. Your bed also very nice. So the only thing you have to develop the understanding is there are certain type of rules that the temple want us to observe, so that we need to have gratitude, so that we comply. We don't create unnecessary misunderstanding. But so far so good. They like us. Then duties. Do your duty. Cleanliness, everything. We have to do it. When you go there, they will prepare all the room for you. Very nice, very clean, the toilet, everything. So before you leave, you also want to clean them up and leave everything. Right? So we must have gratitude, because all the hot water, they are not charging us. But we make it a point to make donation offering. So we normally donate quite a lot to the temple, because this temple is a very conducive place for you to develop goodness, wholesomeness. So sometimes when we have enough fund, we donate at least 10,000, sometimes more, because this money goes towards the temple maintenance, operation and everything. So whoever go there for retreat, you get to partake in the merits. Then whatever they do, they have a lot of very good activity. And it's like a temple that cater for a lot of Dhamma activities, especially retreats. Every year they have many retreats. I remember before we come back, normally almost 3/4 of the next year's retreat table all set already. Then after our retreat, we also book for the next year. The ever very nice, no problem. Every time we ask, he give us a slot. So we have established very good rapport and relationship with them. Okay, so with that, hopefully you all can register early and experience it. It's worth it. Never before can you really have such beautiful retreats. And it's like very rare, very rare. You can get to experience it at least once in your lifetime. You will have a lot of gratitude and a lot of joy. And you will thank all the committee member, the helper, the kalimita who has helped and make this possible. Because they volunteer free, do all this for you. Then sometimes, because they did all this for people, people who doesn't understand, especially new people from outstation, they are not part of our kalimita. Sometimes they join us, so they don't know, they are not used to our maybe way of doing things and establish. So sometimes you may find once a while, very rare, people who complain. You know, everywhere got people complain. But this one so far so good, it hasn't like become something, an issue. The complaint somehow, people came and let me know. Then I say, don't worry, let things be. If that person still feel that way, then ask her to come and see me. I don't know why, most of them are ladies. because sometimes they complain, why ask me to wash toilet? I come here to meditate, you know, retreat. Why you allocate me to do all this kind of thing? You have people like that, then not easy for us to let them understand, because the intent is really negative. Understand? To me, to contribute towards the retreat activity, if I wash toilet, I feel very good. Understand? You know, I get to do something which is meritorious. And I do it with understanding, with joy. And that is meditation. You develop mindfulness. You develop awareness of your mind state, how you react. But when you react and create wrong thought without knowing it and get angry, that is not meditation. You are not going for a retreat. You go there, you don't learn anything. Your old ways are still there. But when you understand, like I say, the understanding transforms you. You have gratitude. Whatever you do with joy, you do with understanding. You know, that is what a trained mind with the understanding is. So you realize all this negativity of mind state reaction and all those things, they become very clear to you. That's how you learn. That's what meditation is. Not to become more calculative, more sensitive and more egoic, want to complain only. Everything, if everybody wants things their way, then it's very difficult to develop understanding. Yeah. But if everybody is willing to rejoice and sacrifice and work towards the harmony, the success of the retreat, or then it becomes beautiful. Yeah. That's why I saw a lot of helper with a lot of understanding and joy. Even the meditation hall, you see the way they clean up the thing. Not a single complaint, not a single like unhappy face. They do with joy. Then they practice or cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Means you have to arise the appropriate, gentle, pleasant, and right good speeches. Then you act with understanding. You act with good virtue. You are very kind, very gentle, very pleasant, full of understanding. And you are very helpful, a lot of contentment. Then you develop the faith, the gratitude, the contentment. Then you meditate, develop mindfulness. There is a lot of joy. Then your mind becomes very tranquil, very peaceful, very calm. Because the environment there is very conducive. It will help you a lot in developing the meditation. Okay, so we stop. What's the time now? Wow, you got only 50 minutes for meditation. Okay, I give you 20 minutes. We off the light. Then you can start your meditation immediately. I will set the alarm, 20 minutes. Just remember to relax your mind. Relax completely, body and mind. Feel yourself fully relaxed. Then maintain awareness. Don't try to know. Let the thoughts slow down, settle down. Then experience the tranquility, the stillness, and the silence within. For those who still need to train your mind, you can use whatever method, technique, or skillful means that you are familiar with, that is conducive for you. Do it to train your mind to develop sati and stabilize it. Once sati stabilizes, you let it maintain the inner awareness, the silence within, until it becomes completely quiet and still, until the mind enters sati. When the mind enters sati, your form and mind will know, and you will know what the sati is. Then your mind state becomes very different. You are not only quiet, peaceful, tranquil, and still. Any activity or movement from that silence, you will know, you will understand. That's why the silent mind is the meditative mind. The meditative mind is just the inner peace, inner awareness, the silent. From that silent, everything arises. Then towards the silent, everything returns. Then you will start to understand what the Buddha meant by mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, all things arise. That is the mundane mind, the creative aspect. So when you are just silent and aware, you can see all this. That's why the Buddha said, all phenomena that arise, whether physical, mental, or nature's phenomena, they are all dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. Without condition, nothing arises. When condition arises, things arise. When condition cease to be, things cease to be. So all this will become clear to you. So meditation is to develop the understanding, the wisdom, through the silent observation of your forming mind. Then you will understand clearly who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being. How your mind arises and passes away. How your mind creates thought. How your mind develops the activity of mind, sankhara activity. How thought comes to be. How upon contact, various types of sense or consciousness come to be. Then how you input your content of consciousness. How it conditions you to stir your mind to react, to perceive, to command, to arise all the various mental activities and mental aggregates. You will start to see them all. And from there, you develop wisdom and understanding. Without the silent observation or awareness within, you cannot understand life. You cannot understand truth. You cannot understand the reality within the moment. And you will not be able to have understanding of who you are, what this five aggregate or forming mind is all about. Okay, I'll let you meditate on your own. and slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. Stabilize it, then use it to develop daily mindfulness. Okay, now we turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities and devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajas Sunantu Saggamokkhadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo
Let us be respect Rupaja. Butang Pujayami. Damang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Just relax body and mind, yeah? Then we can have our second session, which is meditation reporting, yeah? Plus question and answer. You can ask whatever question related to meditation and the teaching. Yeah? Then regarding reporting of meditation, you just have to report exactly how you do it. Then I can guide you along whether you have done it correctly or not. Yeah. It's easier that way. Yeah. If you don't report, I really don't know what you are doing. But from the way you report exactly how you do, then I can advise you whether you have developed it with understanding or not. Yeah. So that aspect is very important. Then regarding the question, don't worry about your question. A lot of people have fear, they're scared maybe if they ask something too simple, or sometimes they think they use the word not so intelligent question. But don't worry, this is what people fear. So that fear prevents you from asking. Actually, the purpose of question is you just ask whatever you want to understand sincerely. Then it will create a condition for my nature to speak, to explain. Then you learn. That way is very much more conducive and easier for people to develop the understanding. Okay, now we start. Anybody wants to report meditation or ask question, you just raise your hand. Anybody? Oh, Adam still owe me the transcript. Yeah, you don't have to write everything. You just write whatever you can understand, the important part. Your question is there, isn't it? Huh? You see your question? Oh, transcript. You haven't finished. Oh, okay. No, what I mean is that first Thursday one, you say you are doing it in a... No, never mind, I'm not hurrying you, but I want you to remember to do it, because it's for your own good, your own training. When you do it, you learn, because otherwise you are not listening, I can tell you. Unless you listen attentively, like trying to do the transcript, or not to say transcript, prepare the short notes. You have to listen attentively, otherwise it doesn't go in, I tell you. You may think you understand, but it doesn't go in. But when you listen attentively to do the short note, then you pay attention. During that time, a lot of things last time you thought you know, you heard, but actually you miss out. That's why from the listening again, you realize a lot of things at that time when it was shared, you actually didn't got it. You may listen and think, oh, it's beautiful, meaningful, interesting, but the deep meaning not there. So when you listen again, you realize that, wow, all this was shared. You were very surprised. Then you like to listen. Then when you listen attentively, especially now with the video. The video actually stand up. It keep you attentive. Where you can see me speak. Then you can see me write on the whiteboard. So the word that I wrote on the whiteboard will actually make it clear for you. Otherwise, sometimes you didn't see the word. you may not know what I'm trying to share with you, especially if that topic is new to you. But once you see the words, then you understand, oh, this is what Brother Teo meant when he did that sharing. Okay, Adam? So those are the things. Kotlin is here. Kotlin, they depend on you now. Got any question or not? Yeah, everybody is so shy. Yeah. Yeah. Pass the mic to Angie. Luckily you're Angie, because tonight Tammy not around. It's either Tammy or Angie.
Brother,
yeah.
The meditative training throughout the day of the Noble Eightfold Path, can you please explain?
Thank you. You see, this is the topic, I think better on the fan at the back, because they are not getting the ventilation. Okay, thank you for your rather good question, Angie. You see, when it comes to daily mindfulness, the daily practice, and how to link it to heedfulness. So heedfulness is ever mindful, constantly meditative. You combine these two, it becomes heedfulness. So you look at the whiteboard again. What has been explained by the Buddha is very important. He used this word apamada. The Pali word is apamada. So apamada is heedfulness. That's why I wrote here most important. If you are not heedful, the Buddha said you are as if dead. Dhammapada verse 21. He said heedfulness is the path to the deathless. And the heedful never die. Means you are destined for enlightenment. You only need this quality and you are guaranteed enlightenment. Whereas the heedless are as if dead, the Buddha said. So heedlessness is the path to the dead. If you are heedless, you are as if dead. That will take you to the path of the dead. Means you will die. Means the spiritual life is not for you. Spiritually, you are like dead. So this quality, most important, you have to develop. Otherwise, there is no progress, no meditation, nothing. So what is heedfulness? We have to understand. Heedfulness got two parts based on Dhammapada verse 23. The constantly meditative and ever mindful. If you stick onto these two practices or cultivation, the steadfast one, they will realize the supreme, bond-free Nibbana. So what is constantly meditative? The meditation as taught by the Buddha is Noble Eightfold Path. So constantly meditative means constantly cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. That's why it's here. Then ever mindful. That is the other second aspect. So constantly meditative, ever mindful. You add these two, you develop heedfulness. You are considered heedful. So the first thing that you must develop is mindfulness. You have to have mindfulness. That's why that training is very important. That is what daily mindfulness is all about. So in the formal meditation, you cannot get it right. It's very difficult for you to do in the daily life. The reason being, in the daily life, your senses are active. You are fully engaged in life. Do you understand that sentence or not? Your senses are fully engaged in life. Because when you go out into life, you have to be attentive on the road ahead. You have to be attentive on what you see, especially when you are walking or when you are driving or when you are moving around. So your senses, especially your seeing, hearing, and your thought process, they are very active, they are fully engaged. Then of course you have your senses, other senses like your smell, your taste, and your tactile. And these are the things that is constantly creating sense door consciousness, where you have a consciousness trapped inside your body. So every moment of seeing will give rise to the consciousness, the seeing consciousness, the hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. So it's like non-stop. You are fully engaged and your thought move very fast. If you are not mindful, if you are not heedful, you cannot cope with life. You are heedless, completely heedless, where you don't stand a chance to understand what is going on. That's why most people, when they live life, they are full of fear, worry, anxiety, so much so they can never be with the moment. They are never at peace. They are never calm. That's why they are full of stress, fear, worry, anxiety, then running around, busy doing this, doing that. Then one phone call come or one text message come. Nowadays you go to your handphone. So this is making life more sophisticated, because nowadays data, the internet connection, the data that flow through civilization is so much higher compared to 30 years ago during our time when we are young. That time I remember everything was very slow, even banking, everything was very slow. Even the stock market, don't have CDS, don't have online, don't have internet trading, nothing. When we started, it was called the outcry system. How many of you experienced those early years? None. I happened to be lucky because at that time, when I graduated, I straight away learned investment, then I get to understand the investment industry. That time, BUSA, it was called KLSD, they had this outcry system. You know, there's a boy, sometimes two or three of these boys, they write on the whiteboard. You know, every counter, they put on the whiteboard. You know, then there's a boy getting this feed from the remisier. Buy, sell, he will write the code there. Actually, by the time he finished one round, it's 15 minutes already. You know, whatever you see on the board, obsolete already. Not like now, every instant, every moment is online prices, live stream they call. Last time we got live stream, don't even have camera to take out the thing. You have to buy a video camera, which is very expensive. Then that type of old Kodak, you call Kodak camera, you know, the film. The film is actually not cheap. Every time you go for a function or what, or go overseas, sometimes you buy the 36 on, you have to buy 2-3 roll. Then come back, you have to develop them. And it was so expensive. Now no need. Smartphone. Capture thousands of all these photos. You can choose what you like and what you don't like and delete it all. Or you can store them in your whatever, SD card or you call it the pen drive. Then now thumb drive, and then you can download in the computer. Now can come out Facebook also. I saw NG a lot Facebook. Then nowadays there are so many Instagram, Twitter, everything. So technology has developed so fast. Data has moved so fast. So your mind also has to move equally fast. That's why you cannot keep up with the pace of technology, you cannot survive in this new civilization, this new era. So meditation in daily life also have to evolve. That's the reason why I say you need to have mindfulness, leading to heedfulness. So mindfulness is very important. Develop this first. How to develop this? We go through as a revision. How do you develop mindfulness? If you don't know, then how to start the cultivation? How do you develop it? First, you must understand, isn't it? what is sati? What is mindfulness? So what is sati? What is mindfulness? You start from there. That's the reason why I realize a lot of cultivators, a lot of so-called Buddhists or meditators don't understand what sati is. And they can do all sorts of thought-based meditation thinking that it's sati. That's why they can't do it. They cannot get it right. So this is the first thing that you have to overcome in your cultivation. So what is sati? Mindfulness. We better define this. What is sati? Sati equals to what? Of course, the English equivalent is mindfulness. But what really is mindfulness? Because this word is very funny. You know. It consists of what? Two words, isn't it? One mind, one fullness, isn't it? It's like your mind is in fullness. Full of what? They never tell you. If it's full of thought, is it mindfulness? Is it sati? It's not sati, isn't it? So why do they use the word mindfulness? Actually, I have one teacher. My last teacher, old guy. You know, when I told him mindfulness, he said, "You Buddhist, I don't know what are you doing." Is it? When you use the word mind, you kill yourself. Means you don't understand what awareness is. To him, the more appropriate word is awareness. But this awareness is equally vague, understand? That's why people cannot understand. To him, it's very clear. We're aware. Understand? Just aware. Aware means what? Attentive. You remember I explained to you the difference between awareness and consciousness. To be conscious is not necessarily aware. Do you understand? You can be conscious of life, but you are never aware of life. Where you don't have awareness with it. So to him, awareness is a good word. Enough for him. But I realize a lot of people cannot understand. Do you know why? Because I heard one recording by a very famous local monk. During that session, I think they have a discussion, I think. It's something like Q&A and discussion. So one of the students raised a hand. Aware of what? Who is aware? They come up with this type of question. No? Means the person who asked don't understand. And the gullible thing is, the one who teach also answer that question. Without knowing the difference. So when they use this word mindfulness, it's worse. Who is mindful? Mindful of what? This sati is just an awareness before the knowing. That's why I add in this word. Before the knowing. The moment you know means the thought arises already. Can you follow? The moment you know means you perceive the word come out already. The concept come out already. When you are aware that pure perception, no words, no concept, no description, nothing, seeing things as they are. That is the deep, the awareness. So when you understand sati is equal to awareness before the knowing, then don't try to know, just aware. But please remember, if you want to live life, you have to know. Understand? Otherwise, how to live life? You have to perceive, you have to know. Then you have to act, understand? You have to move. But mindfulness can be there. The moment you are aware, you perceive with the awareness we did, then you move. We have all this becomes specific phenomenal awareness. You are not lost in thought. You don't get trapped in the knowing. The trouble with people is they are conscious and they straight away use their perception to perceive and create the word, the concept, and the thought come out. Whereas the aggregate of mind straight away come out. So like you perceive something, okay? Let's say that picture, okay? Or that poster. When you are aware that is before the knowing, there is no word, nothing. Just that thing, like a baby, newborn baby, they see. That is the direct seeing, the pure awareness, the pure perception. No words, no description. The moment the word, the description come out means what? You are perceiving it according to memory, knowledge. That's how it creates the words, concept. Then this one become what? A very nice poster. Or an art, Chinese art. Then got Mandarin words and all those things. Then that perception will create meaning for this thing. Then you will start to entangle yourself. Or you start to associate with what you see. The description of it all come out. That's how your thought proliferate. And when you are lost in thought, you are not aware anymore. You are not aware anymore. And most people live life that way. They continue to think, then they continue to react, stir their mind, and do a lot of heedless things. That inability to be aware make them heedless. You can follow. So to be aware, you just need to be with the moment in awareness. Don't try to know. That's why the Buddha says, standing, aware. Walking, aware. Means what? The awareness and the movement as one. You understand? Not ask you to note standing, then the thought come out. No, just aware. Silent. When you bow, body and mind move as one, aware. Then when you bow until the awareness come, where your mindfulness is already there, you will know. No word on. The awareness and the thing is one. Then you realize sati is just that awareness. The specific phenomenal awareness. The true mind is aware of the thing. That's it. Finish. Then everything you do, turning, moving, stretching, bending, whatever, just aware. And that cultivation is very important. Do you know why the cultivation is very important? It keeps your mind silent, quiet, aware. Less and less sankhara, less and less thinking. But to maintain that state, you need to have initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara. Otherwise, your mind keeps on stirring, reacting. You cannot accept the reality of the moment. Whatever that happened in life, whatever that the individual do. You cannot understand that people are just the way they are. The world is the world. Condition like that, things will be. Without that wisdom and understanding, you keep on get yourself entangled with life. Every moment of seeing consciousness, you want to comment. You want to react. Then sometimes you hear something, you react. Sometimes there is fear. Sometimes there is worry. There is anxiety. When things don't go your way, because your mind lack wisdom, lack mindfulness, lack understanding. When you are mindful and aware, no matter what comes in, you are aware. After you are aware, then how it moves you, how it creates conditioning in you and want you to react out of it, you see them. That is the power of awareness. But without developing it, you cannot see all these things. That's why you live life heedlessly. You don't know what is going on. You don't know how you function as a human being. How you become angry also you don't know. How you become fearful also you don't know. That is heedless living. But when you are mindful, you are aware that the mind has become agitated. The mind has become unhappy, fearful. That's the important aspect of mindfulness that you must develop. That's why I give you the hint. Whenever you are not peaceful, not mindful, or not aware, the evil roots are there. That is to teach you to see the evil root. Why are you not peaceful? Means your mind has reacted, stirred. That's why you are not peaceful. Means something disturbing you. You are unhappy. Things don't go your way. You got things that worry you. Fear, worry, anxiety. You have problem. It can be any other first noble truth problem. Health problem, financial problem, relationship problem. Or even any of the things related to the eight reality. Old age, sickness and death. Then sometimes your loved ones, you worry about their health too, their whatever condition. Then sometimes when they grew up, you worry about their life. You worry that they may not be successful in life. So all these are attachment, craving, clinging that cause your mind to develop this fear, worry, and anxiety. If you lack mindfulness, you cannot see all this. And you are trapped. And when you are trapped, you become entangled. That's what the first noble truth of dukkha is. The Buddha said there is a noble truth that explains to you clearly what suffering is. That's why he called the noble truth of dukkha. Means there is a noble truth that explains clearly to you what are the eight conditions that can bring about suffering and affliction if you don't have the wisdom when you encounter them. When you encounter all these eight conditions without understanding, suffering will arise. That is the first noble truth. So mindfulness is for you to develop the ability to be sensitive, to be aware of all these first noble truth reality when they arise, and how it entangles you, and how it conditions you into negativity of mind state, how the evil root comes to be, how it started with the self-delusion personality. So see all this, understand all this, develop the understanding, the wisdom, then reverse the self-delusion so that you are not caught in all this self-delusion activity or movement. And this is what heedfulness is all about. To be heedful is to be aware inside, to see clearly, to observe clearly what happened to you, how you become like that. How you end up in suffering, how you end up in affliction, how the evil roots comes to be. Then when you see all this, you start to understand then how to reverse all this. Then you start to develop the understanding of the beauty of the Buddha's teaching. Why his advice is to avoid all evil, so that all this evil did not arise. Suffering need not be. Without mindfulness, you cannot be aware. You cannot be sensitive. You cannot see all this. That's why the first training is mindfulness. You have to get it right. So understand what is mindfulness first. Awareness before the knowing. So every time I do my meditation, I remember this. I just aware. Formal meditation, by now you understand. Very easy. Relax, aware. No need to do anything there. Because when the thought is not there, you are in the meditative state. You just have to relax and maintain silent awareness. That is your true mind. That's how you meditate. So in life, it is the same. But you have difficulty because in life, if formal meditation also you cannot do it, you don't stand a chance when you come out. You are fully engaged and your thought become active. You have every moment of consciousness, seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, thought process, the thinking proliferate like anything. That's why the Buddha called it anusaya, asava, keep on coming out. Of course, it starts with mental hindrance, then it becomes habitual tendency. From habitual tendency, it becomes latent. So this latent tendency is whatever that you develop through the heedless thinking, heedless reaction to sense experience until it becomes habitual, then latent. That's why anusaya, asava, they all come to be. Initially, it's just a five mental hindrance that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state, but that is bad enough. So when you understand the teaching, you straight away will know how to deal with it. Means I don't fight the mental hindrance. Because these mental hindrances are there because of a reason. I lack the spiritual faculty. So I develop this spiritual faculty. So when you start to develop this five spiritual faculty through constantly listening to the Dhamma to develop the understanding. So let's review it again. If I constantly listen to the Dhamma, what did I share with you regarding this five spiritual faculty? Actually, it's the Buddha's teaching. But people go and separate the five spiritual faculty and the five mental hindrance. They teach as separate Dhamma. They are actually a pair, complement each other. Without these five spiritual faculty, the five mental hindrance straight away come to be. And when the hindrance are there, it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why you cannot meditate in the form of meditation. That's why they go for method and technique to prevent the five mental hindrance from arising and disturbing them. That's how they go into one-pointedness, concentration, thought-based meditation. They got method, technique and all those things and they do that. But if you understand that these are not necessary, you only need to develop the spiritual faculty, then why not you give this a try? Then through the teaching, the Buddha already explained. These five spiritual faculty are spiritual mind state that can allow you to understand spiritual teaching and awaken. Then when they are there, the hindrance are no more. So I have to focus on this. Without this, I cannot understand spiritual teaching. I cannot progress. Without the spiritual faculty, I'm as good as dead. So what is the first spiritual faculty that I have to develop? Faith. Faith means what? Not blind faith. Faith born of understanding who the Buddha is, how wise a being he is. He's not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened, perfect. That's why he's a Sammasambuddha. And because of that, he has this teaching which can make living being enlightened, awakened. So through understanding who he is, how special a being he is, how unique a being he is, and how wonderful this teaching is, our faith in the Buddha and his teaching become unshakable, very strong. Because this is the teaching that I need to free my mind, understand now, to develop the possibility of enlightenment. So that I don't have to suffer anymore. So that I don't have to develop any more delusion. So that I know how to live life. I understand life perfectly, clearly. So that faith will push me to cultivate. True or not? When you have that faith, you are willing to give it a try. That's why you go all out and develop virya, spiritual zeal or tenacity to cultivate this teaching. Where you know the importance of having this teaching. Well, when you understand it, you realize it, you can become enlightened, like the Buddha. And the Buddha is a very unique being, perfect in wisdom and virtue. You can say, during his time when he arrives, he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. To have such a great being to be your teacher, and your guide, your faith will be very strong. So develop this faith very strong. Then after that, determine to cultivate his teaching through virya. So these first two is very easy to develop. Okay? So when you have this, you go all out to cultivate. The third one is what? Sati. Mindfulness, which is what NG is asking. Understand? That's why you start from here. After you have developed the faith, the virya, then you start here. And the Buddha's teaching is very simple. If initially you find it difficult, you do your devotional practice. Devotional practice means what? Develop the faith. Understand? The sadha, the virya. Then rejoice. Then make offering. Pay respect. Keep your precept. All the 10 meritorious action. Do it. And this is how you build up your devotional practice. This is how you develop the Dhamma understanding. And the Buddha always recommend devotional practice, doing the puja, everything, before you start a Buddhist session. Then after that, closing puja, share merit, transformation. So all this, when you do it properly, then in between, meditate, listen to Dhamma, straighten your view, share merit, transfer merit, perform service, help out in whatever way to develop the sasana. So all this will enable you to partake in all the 10 meritorious actions that the Buddha has taught. So with this, you will develop sati. Because the faith, sadha virya, will make you ever mindful. Constantly attentive, listening to Dhamma, also attentive, mindfully. Then whatever you do, pay respect, mindful. Offering puja, mindful. Rejoice, mindful. Whatever you do, action, movement, the four foundation of mindfulness. Especially the first foundation, kaya anupassana. So when you are in a formal meditation, he recommends anapanasati. Anapanasati is just mindfulness of the in and out breath to train your mind. To develop sati, then stabilize it until the mind enters sati. After the mind enters sati, then only you have the ability to be mindful in daily life. Do you understand? Means daily mindfulness need to start with a stable sati. Stable sati means you have to develop the form of meditation. Either you develop the spiritual faculty, then stabilize that sati. So when it comes to spiritual faculty, it's the same. Sadha virya develop, you train your mind to have sati. So this is what the first foundation of mindfulness, the Buddha recommend anapanasati. Means mindfulness of the in and out breath. Not go and focus on the breath, concentrate on the breath, or note the breath. None of all this. Just mindful, aware. Then let the mindfulness develop until it stabilizes. Then relax into it, silent. Then when you are silent, it will give rise to the enlightenment factor. So when sati is stabilized, you will experience what they call piti. Piti is an enlightenment factor, spiritual joy, spiritual calmness. Then you relax further, allow it to be more quiet, more refined. You will experience sukhang. But sukhang is not an enlightenment factor. So you don't worry. You can experience it, then don't attach to it. That's it. Don't every time want it to be repeated. Forget about it. Because after that, your mind only go to another level. After you experience the spiritual blissfulness, which is sukhang, if you relax into it some more, the mind become more and more quiet, until it become very still, until no more movement, no more activity. That is paucity. That is tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. That is your true sati. That is very, very stable, very quiet. Yeah. So when you reach paucity, your mind become very subtle. Very still. Your anapanasati also no more movement. So there is no more object of meditation. No more breath to make you aware. Because there is no more movement. So during that time, just silent everything and don't do anything. Just aware. Silent. You have no more breathing. Stay there. You can stay at the breath, no problem. Until the subtle breath becomes very subtle, still. That's what I did in the early days. Then later on, I realized it's better to move it down to the heart. Because finally, it goes down to the heart. That's why I went to the heart straight away. So when the breath becomes very subtle, very still, you will realize paucity. Allow it to be in that state for as long as you can. Don't try to create any movement. Don't try to know anything. Until that paucity stabilizes, until very stable, then your mind will suddenly enter sati. You know what is mind entering sati, isn't it? The mind is in sati. Means when the mind is in sati, whatever movement and activity, that mind is aware, is in sati. Do you understand? That is what the Buddha meant by ever mindful. If your mind is not in sati, you can never be ever mindful. That's why after that I realized, even in the midst of the formal meditation, the slightest movement is like magnified. That I was so surprised, the subtle breathing, like normal breathing, also come back to me, like very clear. Even the subtle breathing become very clear to that sati, which is more refined. Your mind has entered sati. Then I realize whatever I do after I come out of the formal meditation, everything is in sati. My hand movement, my activity. Even when I want to come out, the awareness is fully with my kaya movement. Then when I move my leg, fully aware. Move my hand, bending, turning, everything fully aware. And there is no word. The awareness follows everything. That's how beautiful that mind is when it has entered sati. Then I realize every moment of hearing is in sati. Smell is in sati. Tactile feeling is in sati. Very clear. Fully aware. That seeing become very different. That seeing is like specific phenomenal awareness. You just see. Aware of the phenomena. The movement. It can perceive, but it does not proliferate. You want to understand, it understands. Then it moves. It moves. Then when it wants to reflect, contemplate, it can. But that mind is like train. Listen to you. It's constantly aware. Then that time, the movement of thought activity or what, is like slow motion. You can see that. You can be at the moment of feeling, at the moment of Sankara activity, the movement, you can follow. At the moment of perception, it's like stay there. At the moment of consciousness, it's like freeze there. Then everything is still the normal speed of life. You didn't slow down. But your mindfulness has become so different. It's like you can follow all of this movement. That is the real training. Formal meditation, before you go into it, develop the spiritual faculty. Because once your sati is stabilized, the mind will enter paucity. Once it enters paucity, you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi. That's like the enlightenment factor, you remember? First factor of enlightenment is what? Sati. The second factor is with sati, you can investigate Dhamma, where you can see very clearly. You are sensitive, you are mindful, you are heedful, you are aware. You know what is going on. That's why you can investigate the teaching, Dhamma investigation, the essential Dhamma that the Buddha teach. You can investigate. Then you realize through this mindfulness, you can see them so clearly and you can put them to test. It stand up to investigation. That's why there is so much joy in you, so much faith in you. Then the faith, the joy become unshakable. That's how from there you develop that virya to drive you to cultivate further. That is the third enlightenment factor. Then when virya drives you, your sati become very stable. Throughout the day, you are mindful, your daily mindfulness also stabilized. Then because you constantly listening to the Dhamma, the first and second turning wisdom stabilize, the initial wisdom come to be, yoniso manasikara. Then during your daily life, your mind doesn't stir anymore, where you have straightened your view. You can see things as they are. You can accept the reality of the moment. You understand cause and effect, dependent origination, condition, arising phenomena, causal phenomena. All this become very clear to you. That's how the enlightenment factor keep on moving. So from sati, you investigate Dhamma. Then after that, your faith become unshakable. Then virya is very strong. So this spiritual faculty develop. Then when your sati become very strong, it will experience piti. That's how you go through the anapanasati process, piti, the fourth enlightenment factor. Then you relax into it, of course you experience sukang, the bliss. It's not an enlightenment factor, so the Buddha skip it. They say after that you go to pasti. Pasti is tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. That is your meditative mind. So you have to hit that in the form of meditation. Then when you hit that, mind enters deep. Then that wisdom, initial wisdom, and the mind enters deep will enable you to have samadhi in the midst of life. Do you understand? That's at the moment of consciousness. We call it yoniso manasikara. Manasikara is attention. Yoniso is wisdom. Wisdom at the moment of sense experience. Sense, that moment of experience, means they call it the attention. Yoniso manasikara. So that moment, when you experience a sense experience, this wisdom will come out and prompt you straight away. The initial wisdom. Sabbe sankara anicang, sabbe sankara dukkang, sabbe dhamma anatta. Then rupang anicang, rupang anatta. Straight away it will come out and prompt you. Then the world is the world. People are just the way they are. The reality is conditioned like that, things will like that. So all this understanding will be there. So when they come out and prompt you in the midst of life, you no longer react. You can accept things as they are. You can see things as they are. You can be with the moment full of joy, full of peacefulness, tranquility, stillness, awareness. And you learn very fast. That's how the daily mindfulness develops. Then with sati and samadhi, your mind no longer waver. Because samadhi is collectedness of mind and the unwavering mind. So at the moment of seeing sense experience, or hearing, or thinking, or smell, taste, tactile, the mind does not stir anymore. Because it's collected and unwavering. So it can see things as they are. And the memory and the views, opinion and conditioning does not interfere with the seeing. That's why you can see things as they are. Jnana dasana. Then you can awaken. You can insight into phenomena with the silent mind, not with the Dhamma knowledge and the thought process. That's how the cultivation comes to be. So daily mindfulness is very important. You must have a good religious routine. That's why I do your puja at home morning before you sleep. Then in between, maintain daily mindfulness. Then form a meditation, train your spiritual faculty. Then do your religious routine. Then meditate until mind enters deep. Then maintain this mind state when you come out. You have to develop the daily mindfulness until very stable. So daily mindfulness, which is very stable, the Buddha called it sati sampajana. Okay? Mindfulness and clear comprehension. That is the step after the initial wisdom. Avijja Sutta. Step one is to have Dhamma friend. Step two is constantly listening to the Dhamma. To straighten your view, to develop the initial wisdom, to develop the faith. Then step three is the faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then step four is the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara, means wise attention at the moment of sense experience. Then after that, you will have sati sampajana. means daily mindfulness. Mindfulness and clear comprehension. Clear comprehension is to prevent you from debating, making mistakes. The moment you hit this step 5, you can see things very clearly. You can understand things very clearly. Then you will never break your prison. That's why step 6 is sense restraint become possible. So when you have that, means your 4 right effort can be developed. Especially your 2nd right effort. Right effort to prevent the unwholesome thought from arising. Because this initial wisdom will surface from you. And straight away you know then that defilement ceases to be. Then later on it can't even arise. Exactly like what the Buddha described under the Satipatthana Sutta. Then with sense restraint, the 3 types of right conduct, right speech, right thought, and right action. These 3 become possible. That's how the Noble Eightfold Path is cultivated. Angie, so your question is, how to develop this daily mindfulness and linking it to Noble Eightfold Path to develop the wisdom, to enlighten, to awaken. And this is what heedfulness is all about. So daily mindfulness leading to the cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path. That's how you cultivate. So initially, I just summarize again. If you don't have the spiritual faculty, develop it. After you have the spiritual faculty, develop the devotional practice. Have a religious routine. Develop your daily mindfulness. Because when these 5 spiritual faculties are there, your progress is very fast. The hindrance, no more. Because it will cancel the hindrance. Then you realize throughout the day, you are most of the time in sati. Then when you have stabilized, samadhi is always there. That's why you are always tranquil, peaceful, still, aware. Throughout the day, because your mind has entered sati. Then wisdom keep on arising. Dhamma keep on awakening. That's how the spiritual faculty can transform the cultivator. And this 5 is very important. And this one normally, initially you start with the first 2 and you have to develop the 3. Sati. Sati is not easy. But when you understand, it's very easy. Just do. Don't try to know. Until the sati come, your form and mind will know. That's why when you bow, just bow. When you walk, just walk. Don't try to know. Make it a point to be aware, mindful throughout the day. Whatever you do, exactly like Satipatthana Sutta. If you need an object of meditation, you can start with anapanasati or anything else. Technically, you don't need an object of meditation. But because the Buddha used anapanasati, then last time when I started, I also don't know. The anapanasati just come to me. It was from my past. That's why I went through the whole process of anapanasati, and I come to know what pasati is. The silent mind. The tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, and how mind enters sati, it happened in my form and mind. That's why I can explain to you, and I understand what this thing is. Then when mind enters sati, I realize the moment you come out of it, you become so different. Your mind becomes so different. Your mind is in sati. Means every moment of hearing is in sati. Every moment of seeing is in sati. Every moment of mental movement or activity or the thought process is all in sati. Well, this sati can follow. It's like your good companion. It's constantly with you. That's why the Buddha used the word ever mindful. You are ever mindful. Constantly meditating. Constantly cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right living or right livelihood. Then the 4 right effort. Then your sati is very stable, leading to samadhi in the midst of life. That's why without sati sampajana, the daily mindfulness, stability of it, you cannot. The Avijja Sutta, very beautiful. Step 2 leading to step 4 is very important. Then step 4 will give rise to step 5, sati sampajana. Once you have that, you are home. You are heedful. Then, sense restraint, automatic. Your precept, you cannot violate. You can see the evil root, everything very clearly. Then after that, there are 3 types of right conduct, automatic inside you. You can have them. Then after that, the 8th step is cultivating the 4 foundations of mindfulness. That one becomes very easy. But after that, you will understand the 4 foundations very easy. But most of it you have done already before you even go into that cultivation. Especially Kayanupassana, you have done them all. Then after that, when you read the sutta, the 4 foundations of mindfulness, on feeling, you understand the word very clearly. Not the Dhamma, the word very clearly. Then Cittanupassana also, you understand very clearly. Because your mind enters, you can see that. Then Dhamma Nupassana becomes even more clear. Mindfulness of the 5 mental hindrances. That one is no more problem. You have gone through it. Then mindfulness of the 5 aggregate of form and mind also, by then it becomes very clear. That's why you know how you function as a human being. You know who are you, what are you. You must have gone through it. Otherwise you cannot understand. Then mindfulness of the 6 internal sense bases and 6 extra, you must have also done it. Otherwise you cannot develop the stability of sati. The stability of sati will allow you to see all this very clearly. So when you have that, your understanding will unfold. That's why the 4th category of cultivation under the 4 foundation of mindfulness, the 4th foundation, Dhammanupassana. After mindfulness of the 5 mental hindrances, 5 aggregates of form and mind, then the mindfulness of the 6 internal and 6 external sense bases, the 4th one is mindfulness of the 7 factors of enlightenment. That is Avijja Sutta step 9. The 7 factors of enlightenment keep on arising, you realize. Then you know you're on the right path. You know you are destined for enlightenment. That's why step 10 is enlightenment in the here and now. Nibbana can be realized. So all this will become very clear to you. The 10th step of the Avijja Sutta become very clear to you. Then your cultivation also become very different. So under the 4th foundation of mindfulness, there are 5 categories of practices of cultivation. Just now we reached the 4th one, mindfulness of 7 factors of enlightenment. The last one is mindfulness of 4 noble truths, the 3 turning. Yeah. You have to go through that again. So mindfulness of the 4 noble truths, the 3 turning, you will go through the whole thing, the 4 foundation of mindfulness, leading to mindfulness of 4 noble truths. And it will cover Noble Eightfold Path, the 4th noble truth. That's how the whole Satipatthana accumulate back to the Noble Eightfold Path. So whatever meditation you do, if it does not bring you back to the 4 noble truth, especially the Noble Eightfold Path, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So it's not just about experiencing fantastic meditation, fantastic mind state. No, those are not important. More important is how you train your mind to be ever mindful, to develop the wisdom, the understanding of who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. How your senses operate. How it conditions the form of mind into delusion. And how through straightening your view, you awaken. And you reverse the whole process. That's why the Avijja Sutta reverse. You got the enlightenment sequence. The other one is the Avijja sequence. How you fall. So enlightenment sequence is very beautiful. That's how you develop the understanding of meditation. When you understand meditation, you know how to meditate. Then you know how to develop the understanding to cultivate. Then you will be on the right path. And you will progress very fast. very smoothly. So developing mindfulness can be done in many ways. Okay? So what I have added, which is not in the sutta, which is I find personally very useful, is the daily religious routine. You must have a routine. Actually, the Buddha didn't mention it, but in his teaching, it's like more or less pointing out to you that is what you have to do. Because he teach all the things that you do in the religious routine. Puja, taught by him. That's why when you wake up, first thing you do is pay respect. Understand? Then, do your puja. Chant. Salutation to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato. Then after that, continue. Renew your refuge. Take your refuge. Renew your precepts. Then share merit. Transfer merit towards the end. Then if you want to chant salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha so that you understand what this triple gem is, you can chant that if you have the time. Then after that, meditate. Meditate. Silence your mind. If you want to radiate metta, you can do. By the way, the metta book is going to be ready soon. After that, I will send it out. We should thank Ingby and the other lady, Tuesday class. Who? Lei Hong. Lei Hong. Not this one. Not Ching Yao one. The other Tuesday class. These two books I use in the early day, I find it very useful. So after I edit it, I will add in some of the things that help me so that it can be useful for you all. Because I think at that time when they wrote that book, it was not organized. They just put in whatever they find useful from the sutta. Then not properly structured. So I try to smoothen it, structure it, but I try to avoid any changes to it. I only change the word to improve on the expression and the development of that metta and all those things. And I also add in some of the things that I develop on my own so that it can help you. Metta is very important. During the early days, I did a lot of metta when I started. And my metta was very, very strong, very powerful at that time. The three stages of metta, I reached the pinnacle of it until the metta just flow out from my heart. It just come out. There's a very soothing type of metta energy. Just came out from the heart of it. And that one, the non-human, the animal, they can feel them. Even living beings also. Well, I tested it. Then when I speak at that time, I realize I no need to raise my voice. That metaphor just come out. And people can feel you. The dog, the animals, the non-human, all they can feel you. So metta is very useful, very important. And I use them a lot in the early days. And my mind states become very beautiful. Then later on, I shift out to daily mindfulness. The daily mindfulness was the final accumulation of my cultivation. Whereas before that, I was in full absorption. My anapanasati becomes so stable, it become like continuous until I can go into absorption. My mind absorbed into it, until no thought. But that one is apana samadhi, too deep, cannot develop wisdom, too still. That type of mind cannot develop wisdom, cannot come out. That's why finally I release it out and develop daily mindfulness, accumulating to heedfulness, appamada. That's how I came to understand all the cultivation. Then finally, when everything become clear, I didn't do anything. For 15 years, I didn't do anything. 1989 to 2004, I didn't do anything. there were occasions where people came and see me, but they cannot understand what I want to share with them. But very few. Once a while, one or two will drop by, but they cannot understand. They are not ready. Then in the year 2004, when Yun Chan came, my nature started to develop the understanding that inside it tell me it's about time you come out. The conditions are there. Then that time I was apprehensive, I don't want to come out and share and create unnecessary problems. Well, what I understand is the opposite of what people do. Then I actually was protective of people's karma. I scared if they don't understand, they simply say things, it will create a lot of repercussion karmically. My nature didn't do anything. So out of love and compassion, I didn't want to do anything. Until the year 2004, when Yun Chan requested me to come out 3 times. 3 times, I rejected her. But after that, after the 3rd time I rejected her, inside tell me, he said, it's about time for you to come out. Then I reflected. I said, the thing that I am apprehensive of is, these people cannot understand. Just like the Buddha, after his enlightenment, he doesn't want to teach, you remember? Yeah, what he understood is too profound. The opposite of what living being think. Then Sahampati came down and talked to him. There are some with little dust in their eye who can understand you. That's why I encouraged him to come out and teach. And the Buddha reflected. Then he realized, yeah, the 2 teachers that taught him. Then the 5 ascetic. But he used his supernormal ability to check the 1st 2 teachers, Alara Udaka, already passed away. One of them passed away the day before he became enlightened. The other one, 1 week ago. Then he checked the 5 ascetic. Oh, they are still around. So he decided to walk there and teach them. That's where he started his teaching, the 1st sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. That was the 1st teaching, the 3 turning of the 4 noble truths, the HABA talk that I delivered. So that one was very beautiful. So for me, it's different. There is no Brahma, nothing. Nothing came down. I didn't meet any of them. Yeah, my last teacher told me, when there is no more earthly guide, means no more from the world can teach you, they may send one from the astral, they say. You know what is astral or not? A-S-T-R-A-L. Not the astral you see in the TV. They will send you an astral guide. Yeah, he received an astral guide when he was young. And the astral guide was 600 years old already. 600 years old when he met him. That was a long time ago. So, in that particular case, I think after that he left. Then 20 years later, I met him, my last guy. The first thing I told him was, I said, none came. Even astral also didn't come. None came. Oh, he said, very good. Means you don't need. That's why I say I waited 15 years. Nobody come. But instead a human, Yun Chan came. One lady came. Then he also don't know who I am. But every time he come at about near to 9 o'clock, 8 something at night. He talk until midnight. The first meeting I remember, he was so worried. He said, "Brother, I have to go." I said, "Can I go lah?" He said, "My husband calling me." Because he's supposed to come out and meet me and collect he organized this trip to Fraser's Hill, I think. So I happened to register with my wife. But I want to know what happened to the Buddhist community and what are they doing. So I wrote in and want to join. Then she happened to be the organizer. That's why he has to come and collect the fee from me and other things. Then, end up almost 12 because we speak Tamil. Second time also same. Third time also same. That's why after that he keep on requesting. He said, "Brother, you are so good in the Dhamma. Why not you come out and share?" I said, "No, mind. Let things be. When condition is there, then maybe something will happen. Otherwise, just let things be." Yeah. And finally, after the third time I rejected her, this one told me, "If you are apprehensive, why not you set condition?" Oh, then I realized, oh yeah, that is a good suggestion, set condition. That's how you go and read my website. I set 3 conditions so that people don't argue with me. We call it Dhamma sharing, not a one-way traffic authority to teach. No. We are Dhamma friends. We share Dhamma. That's it. No right, no wrong. You find it useful, conducive, make use of it to progress. Then I respect you for what you are. You respect me for what I am. So we just share our understanding. Yeah. You can give whatever opinion or view that you have. You don't have to say that I'm right or wrong. You just say what you want to say. No problem. Yeah, for me, it's a sharing. Yeah. Then we discuss. Then end of the day, we respect each other for what we are. Because your understanding at the moment is like that. You will think this way. You will speak this way. You will act this way. That's okay to me. But likewise, because I respect you for what you are, I hope you can also respect me for what I am. I'm here to share my understanding. I don't force you to accept what I share. But if you find it useful, use it. Then put it to test. If you find it not useful, have an open mind. Then maybe later, when you understand more, you will find it different again. Yeah. So all this is beautiful condition so that there is no argument. Yeah. Avoid misunderstanding, avoid argument. Because this one will not benefit anybody. Understand? One thing to be right is the ego. Do you realize that? Who wants to be right? The egoic mind, the thought wants to be right. And who are you? The atta are you. To me, there is no right, no wrong. Thing is just the way it is. People are just the way they are. Your right and wrong is relative truth. Do you know what is relative truth or not? Conventional truth. Relative means right according to who? You never ask. Right, when you ask that question, then you will realize, yeah, he is just the way he is. Whatever he say, if he say he is right, he is right. Yeah, according to him, understand? So I don't have to argue with him. I say, yeah, you are right. People who don't understand, they say, "April, you lie, lah. Where got lie? I accept him for what he is. That's why I accept that he is right. Yeah, he wants to be right. Right according to him. Yeah, you are right. Yeah, right and wrong to me, no meaning. It's relative. Thing is just the way it is. No right, no wrong. If your mind state is like that, you will do things like that. Deluded people do deluded things. True or not? Wise people do wise things. They are just the way they are. Why you say he is wrong, he is right? They are just the way they are. So when you understand this, you transcend duality, you don't have problem. Otherwise, you keep on wanting to be right. And wanting to be right is the most dangerous thing. To hold on to. Because end of the day, they are alive. Let them live. Let them decide. To me, life is very simple. When you cannot understand, you will do foolish things. When you understand, you will not be heedless. You will develop wisdom to do the proper thing, appropriate thing. So learn to develop wisdom to understand life and to live life. That's it. Don't go and argue about right and wrong. Right and wrong will not help you in any way. It's just like when you have a problem, Getting angry will not help you. Developing the fear, worry, anxiety will not help you. What will help you is to maintain clarity of mind, understand? Calm yourself down. Accept the reality of the moment. Then, with that clear mind, reflect, contemplate what happened. What is actually happening? Is there really an issue or a problem? Then how can I resolve all this amicably so that everybody can move on in harmony, in peace, with understanding, no more conflict, no more negativity? And this is what Dhamma is all about. Dhamma is not about trying to be right. Dhamma is trying to develop the wisdom to understand clearly who are you, what are you, and what is life. Then develop the understanding to live life. That is most important. That's why the 2 SJBA talk is very useful. Eh? Wow, another 5 minutes. So did I answer your question, Angie? Yeah, Sadhu. So at least now today the question is very good. It leads us to discuss this very important topic. But this topic is actually a very wide topic, not easy to understand. But if you have the faith and you have been doing it, you will understand what I try to explain to you. It's a very major topic. To develop this is the full cultivation. When you understand, it's not difficult. That's the beauty of it. But when you don't understand, it's like, oh, like near impossible. If you have the faith, it's not difficult, it's very easy. So have the faith. Spiritual faculty will lead you there. You must have this type of mind. If others can do, I also can do. Then you will progress. When I was young, do you know I have this thing in my mind? Whatever people can do, I can do better. So just like I teach you one level lower. Whatever people can do, I also can do. But when I was young, I had this understanding. Whatever people can do, I can do better. That's why when I studied that time, without me knowing it, I end up becoming friends of those who are very good in their study. I didn't purposely go and know them. I was observing them. Observing how they study. How they become so good. That each and every of the classmates who did very well in their own subject, I will take their exam paper. I will read them. I want to know what they write. How did they score such high marks? Then I like to read their essay also, those who did very well. That's how I learn. Then I approach them, I talk to them. Congratulations, you did very well. Can I borrow your notes? Can I have a look at your answer? How you score such wonderful mark? They were so happy to let me know. Take lah. Then there was one subject I realized. I remember biology. Actually, I can do either engineering or medicine. Because I'm very good at both. When I was in Form 5, all the 3 science and 2 maths, I got book prize. I topped that class. And because of that, I learned that bio, by looking at the guy, I think first term, he got the highest mark in bio. So I cannot understand. Because to me, I have already had all the understanding. I answer them. How come his mark is more than me? So I took his answer sheet. Do you realize one thing that I didn't do, he did. He got this pencil to go and underline the important words, no? And he buy the B2 pencil, no? Fat fat one, no? Now we use Blanco, to highlight, huh? Yeah. I saw that was what he did, no? Then I realized my bio teacher got spec very thick, one, no? And my writing was so small, no? No wonder you can't see what I write, no? So after that, I changed strategy, no? I write bigger, then I underline. Oh, I come out top, my mark higher than his. That's how it happened. That's why you have to investigate and find out. That's what learning is all about. So what I told you is, I somehow end up becoming their friends, and they are very close to me because I'm very sincere. Yeah. And they like me. And I also learn from them. That's why I have this very strong understanding. Whatever people can do, I can do better. And I know I am a slow, not to say slow learner. Before I understand that thing, I like very child. Do you understand? But the moment I understand that subject or that thing, I can understand way beyond the teacher also. Like standard one, standard two. I told you I last in the class and standard two, second last in the class. You know why not? Well, my parents sent me English school, to an English school. And my whole kampo, nobody speak English. Not my whole house, or my whole kampo, nobody speak English. So because of that, I need 2 years to learn English. Standard two, I was second last because my arithmetic, I got 100 marks. So that one pull up my grade and become second class. But standard 3 onward, I did very well. And I went to special class. That's why standard 4 was 4 special. No? Those, during our time, 6 years, you can finish in 4 years. Or no? Your school has such express class. No? I think Suyan express class. No? Suyan, he's younger than us, don't know, 2 years. Or no? He express class. No? So I was standard 4, put into express class with those that jump on. Oh, because my standard 3, I did very well. So all this, you must believe in what you are capable of. Have faith. Be sincere. Persevere. If people can do, you can do. For me, whatever people can do, I can do better. That's what my belief system is. And to me, it's not an ego that I have. Because I have this understanding inside that. To learn something, I need to understand. If I don't understand, I cannot learn. That's why I want to look at how people answer questions, how people do things. I understand, and I move. The only thing that I don't really need to learn is meditation. I don't really need to learn from anybody. It's from my past. Then, actually, after 1989, I don't need to see anybody already. But my last guide still came. Then because of 7 conditions, I knew. I don't know who he is, but I must meet him. There is something important. That's why I went and meet him, although I don't need to see anybody at the time. So a lot of these things, your nature will come to understand. Okay? We better end. Sadhu. Yeah. So already 10:35. So don't forget, I promised Manyuan. Manyuan's father is in PPUM. You know where is PPUM? UN Specialist Center, Specialist Center, yeah.
No,
UNSC. Oh, that PPUM? No, PPM is what? Oh, the English word and the Malay word. The English word and the Malay word. Pusat Perubatan. University Malaya. UN Specialist Center. So I promised her, because the father actually quite critical. The father was 80 years old. So she texted me 2 days ago that the father got dengue. That's why she supposed to go retreat. I think somewhere Cameron. Then she told me she is not coming to the Sunday class. She has to go retreat. I say, wish you all the best. I say, go. Monday she called me. She said, but dear, I didn't get to go. I said, what happened? My father admitted, he said, dengue. Oh, I said, so how is his condition? It's quite bad, he said. Yeah, he actually, like, paralyzed, cannot move. But not stroke, like that. Paralysis, cannot move. Then fever, of course. Then they sent him to hospital, I think UH. Then they diagnosed, actually it was dengue. Then the pellet dropped. Yeah. Then he requested tonight we share merit, transfer merit. We are 59, pallet dropped to 59. But CNC, not too bad. Because he has had one who turned around from 9. So let's share merits and transfer merit to the father. The name is Chao Ji Kyong, PPL. Man Yuan is one of our Kayamita. Oh no, not that one. Same name. Chao Chi Kyong. Okay, let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 2 hours. So may this merits be shared with all beings, especially the devas and all those who can receive them. Then also special dedication to share this merit with Man Yuan's father. Mr. Chao Chi Kyong, who is at the moment in UH, going through this dengue process with this blood pellet count at 59. So we would like to share all these merits with him and wish him all the best, and may this wholesomeness pave the way for him to have the causes and condition to recover quickly from his dengue attack so that he can gain back his good pellet count to become normal again so that he can be with the family again soon. May he be well and happy. May the blessing of the Triple Gem be always with Man Yuan and the father. And may this marriage too pave the way for the father to have a speedy and quick recovery. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So we wish him well and happy, and hope he will recover soon. Now we will share merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana Itawata Jamihi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabe Deva Anumodantu Sabha Sampati Siddhya Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Devo Asatu Kalena Sasa Sampati Heto Cha Vito Bhavatu Loko Cha Raja Bhavatu Dhamiko Imina Punyang Kamina Mame Bala Samagamo Satang Samagamo Hotu Yawa Nivana Patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, you can pay respect to the Buddha, then we will end. Sadhu.